Good afternoon. I will probably say good morning at some point because usually that's when I'm up and doing these kinds of things, but hopefully I won't. And if I do, you know that's just a force of habit. Welcome this afternoon as we gather in our memorial service here for the Upper Kintore community. And as we celebrate our remembrances, we also have a baptism as well as part of our service. So a little bit different this afternoon than the traditional memorial service, but good to see you folks here with us today. Our service is fairly straightforward in terms of being in the bulletin. All the hymns and the United Church Statement of Faith are all in the on the blue sheet here, so this is the only stuff that you're going to need for our service today. Everything else should be in the bulletin and straightforward. I was informed here just before we gathered, after our closing hymn, we will parade up to the cemetery. So welcome to come up to the cemetery. We'll have the benediction and time for folks to place their flowers and do their remembrances. And reception to follow over next door here at Joe's. So certainly welcome to pop in, say hi to Joe, and enjoy lots of eats that I'm sure are going to be over there, or already over there, for folks to enjoy. So I do want to hold that up. Are there any quick announcements that folks want to share? We're getting to you, Alexander. You're up early, but not quite yet. I invite us to join in song. We'll stand and unto the hills, a traditional first hymn for this service, unto the hills.
Oh,
turning in our bulletins, our call to worship, and our opening prayer this afternoon. God calls to us from a burning bush. We are standing on holy ground. The Spirit calls us to proclaim God's name to all generations. We are standing on holy ground. Jesus calls us from the cross. Come and follow me. We are standing on holy ground. The words of our opening prayer are printed, and I invite us to join in unison. Let us pray. Holy God, you meet us where we are and gently guide us to where we will be. When we miss one sign, you send us another, until we are compelled to respond in wonder and awe. In our time together, we know that you will continually guide and lead us in surprising and unexpected ways, for we know that you are with us always as we dream dreams of a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. As mentioned, this afternoon's service has a celebration of baptism in its midst. The sacrament of baptism proclaims and celebrates the grace of God. By water and by the Spirit, we are called, we are claimed, and we are commissioned. We are called God's own, given our identity as children of God. We are claimed by Christ, united with each other in the Christian community of every time and of every place. We are commissioned by Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit for the work of the church in the world. And as we ponder those words and that invitation, I invite us to join in singing our baptismal hymn, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise.
On behalf of the congregation of the Upper Contoria United Church, I'd like to present Alexander Carson Mahar, son of Blaine and Holly Mahar, for initiation into the body of Christ through baptism.
speaking.
You got him?
Holly and Blaine, desiring the freedom of new life in Christ, you promise to resist evil and to live in love and justice? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you profess your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And will you join with your brothers and sisters in the mission and ministry of Christ Church? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
And will you nurture your child and together grow in faith? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
How are you guys? Get to stand again. So there's the congregational commitment in the bulletin, our way down page 2. And then we'll be turning to that middle part of our blue insert for our statement of faith. Let us pledge to support Blaine and Holly and Alexander with our support, with our prayers, and with our care.
As a baptized and baptizing church, we commit ourselves to support and uphold you within the community of faith. May God grant us all the grace to live out our baptisms.
And again, turning to our blue inserts, to our statement of faith in the United Church entitled A New Creed, we offer these words together. We are
not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
And again, you both go to sleep. In our bulletin, responsibly, is our prayer of thanksgiving over the water that has been poured out for baptism today. I invite us to pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of the universe, maker of heaven and earth, keeper of sky and sea. At the beginning, your Spirit was at work, brooding over the waters of creation's birth. Again and again, you have shown your grace to us through water, cleansing the earth at the flood, parting the exodus at the sea, flowing from the rock in the wilderness.
Blessed are you, O God.
In the fullness of time, you gave us Jesus, nurtured in Mary's womb, baptized by John in the River Jordan, giver of living water, wellspring of eternal life.
Blessed are you, O God.
And therefore, eternal and present God, we thank you for the water with which you bless. We pray that those who are baptized, knowing the death and resurrection of Jesus, may live in your grace. Pour out, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that this font may become our fount of blessing and our source of grace. Blessed are you, O God.
All glory, praise, and honor be to you, now and forever. Amen.
All right, now that you're getting restless, it's my turn.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's my turn. You keep an eye on Mom and Dad.
Never mind what I'm doing.
All right. We got nice warm water.
Unlike the ice bucket challenge that's going around, we're not using ice water. There was a conversation about possibly doing that, but the parents rejected the idea, and I don't blame you.
I was for it.
Alexander Carson Mahar, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alexander, with the sign of this cross, you are claimed as Christ's forever. Amen. You okay to go for a little walk? Let people see? With all these people that are here to observe. Picture time. Do you want to go back to see? You want to go back to see mom, or you want to go back to see dad? Into the household of faith, we welcome you, Alexander, with joy and with thanksgiving. We are members of the body of Christ. We are inheritors of God's promise. In the name of the Christ, we welcome you. And as part of your welcome, I have the baptismal certificate for Alexander and a baptismal candle, which you may have as a reminder, a souvenir of the light of Christ that is in your life and Alexander's life from this day on and forevermore.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We thank you.
And Garth, on behalf of the congregation, will greet you as well. Hug or a handshake. As a pro.
Thank you.
As we celebrate the gift of baptism, one who has been called by God and claimed by God, we have a similar type of story for Moses. He has been exiled from his own community. He's doing his own thing, and then all of a sudden he encounters this burning bush, and a voice out of the bush calls him to new and unexpected places and unexpected ministries. And so we hear this story today. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flame of fire out of a bush. And he looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring out my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" Flipping over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 21. Jesus has had a dialogue with the disciples about who people and who they say Jesus is, and Peter has come to the conclusion correctly that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Jesus says, "Now that you have named that correctly, the next step is to learn what that means, both for me and for you." And so there is an invitation or a challenge to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great sufferings at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and on the third day rise again. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Amen. As we hear these stories of call and commitment, we celebrate the gift of baptism, we turn again in song. Blessed be the tie that binds, that connects generation to generation to generation.
Oh,
at this time, I invite our history of the African Tor Church to be offered by Cheryl.
I am going to change a little bit this year on Garth. Anyway, as you know, the Scotch colony was formed from immigrants from Scotland who came over. And African Tor actually wasn't settled until the second year. But the first settler in African Tor was actually Robert Watson, who came over with the first group in 1873. I have a letter that was written to Uncle Jim, who was in the hospital in Woodstock, and it was written, I believe, by a teacher who taught over her, Emily Lyons. And she talks about the church here, so I'm just going to read part of that. Abiah and George, with two youngest children, were up to church. They went over to Leslie's, which would be my grandfather's, and are coming in here on their way home. And she boarded, apparently, at Uncle Jim's. There was a very small Sunday school. Jeannie and Isabel, I presume Christy, were late. I taught the class. It didn't seem like Sunday school without you. And she's referring to Uncle Jim. A large crowd at church. Frank, Helen, and Alex, presume Christy again. Also Jim Christie, Mr. and Mrs. John Farquhar, Kathleen and Joe, which would be Uncle Joe, Mr. Anderson, Jim, Christine, Annie, Beatrice, Alice, Frank Williamson, and Mr. Hutchison, Mr. Innes and Charlie, Jack Stevenson and Agnes, Jim and Alex Phillip, Mr. and Mrs. Matthews and family, John Frazier and Jackson. Stanley, who would be Uncle Jim's brother, says to tell you we were in time for Sunday school. So apparently they used to be late. And that he is all right. He went to church. Auntie, and again, I presume that would be my great aunt Rebecca, stayed home for fear of getting more cold in her neck. Mr. Pringle, who was the minister at the time, went to Christie's for dinner. And at that time, it was customary, well, even when I was growing up, it was customary for the minister to go to different places for lunch. He could see quite a difference in Mr. Christie. He called in to see the baby before church. And the baby, this was written in 1922, so that would have been my Aunt Dorothy, and that would have been at my grandfather's place, Leslie and Myers, was in for a few minutes and said he saw you on the train. He told us after church that the singing was good. And the text was, Lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. And it came from the 28th chapter of Matthew and the 20th verse. In his prayer, he spoke of the absent ones who were in the hospital. Anyway, I thought that was interesting to find out who all attended church in 1922. Anyway, he was the minister here for many, many long years. And he served from 1896 to 1952. Aunt Mavis and Uncle Earl were the first ones married, or were married by Dr. Pringle. They weren't the first ones, sorry. In 1948. And the music was often conducted by George Barclay, who again, not my father George Barclay, but my great-grandfather, who was the presenter with the tuning fork. The organist was played by Rebecca, that would not be the auntie they referred to, it would be her. Her aunt, but my aunt Rebecca, and she was the organist here for a long while. And Sunday school, when I was growing up, was taught by Laura and my mother and Aunt Dorothy. So in the past years, the importance of the church and the community and life has dwindled, but it's still a vital part of African Tor, and as we had a christening today. And Uncle Jim, who the letter was written to, was the first baby christened in this church. Today we are gathered to remember and honor those who have gone on before us. Let us not forget their vision, dedication, and faith, but let it serve us as an inspiration as we move on to the future.
As we hear that story and how those names connect to us through the generations, I invite us to turn our bulletins partway down page 3 to our prayer of remembrance. which invites us to slow down and to remember those who have gone before as we journey together in faith. Let us pray. Let us call to mind the great and good through whom the Lord has done wonders. Their memory is a blessing forever. Wise and eloquent in their teachings, they were just and loving in their deeds. Their memory is a blessing forever. The beauty of their lives will shine forever. Their memory is a blessing forever. At the rising of the sun and at its going down, we remember them. Their memory is a blessing forever. In the wind and chill of winter, in the opening buds of spring, in the warm and sun of summer, in the rustling leaves of autumn, we will remember them. Their memory is a blessing forever. In the beginning of the year and at its ending, we remember them. Their memory is a blessing forever. When we are weary and in need of strength, when we are lost and sick at heart, when we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. Their memory is a blessing forever. In gratitude for all the blessings our loved ones and friends have brought to us, we dedicate ourselves anew to the faith and work for which they have lived and died, and to the task that they have left to us. Let them be remembered for blessing, O God, together with the righteous of all peoples. And let us say, Amen, 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 and Amen. So this afternoon, as we gather in this time and place, we gather to remember generations gone by who came to this place, and in their effort to take up their cross and follow Jesus, felt the need for that sacred space, that sacred ground to build a church, to build a community, a place where they can gather and witness to their faith through baptism, through marriage, through death. And so this sacred ground, as we heard in our story from Moses and following the cross, invites us to this place to remember their faithfulness, to remember why we are here, what those individuals offered in their lives that they passed on from one generation to the next. And we heard that in the letter, which is a wonderful letter from 1922, highlighting some of the people that were involved in the congregation and the Sunday school and what was happening. And as we hear that story, we can connect those names and say, yeah, that is great aunt or great uncle or whatever that family connection might be. And we go, even then, almost 100 years ago, this place, this sacred place, was important to them. Because it was a way for them to stand up for what they believed, to put their cross in the ground and say, we are followers of the Christ. We don't know where this path is going to lead us or how we're going to be led or what changes we might make in the world around us. But at one level, our faith is important to us. We have picked up our cross to follow where Jesus is leading. And so as we move from generation to generation, as we celebrate a new baptism here today, we are reminded of our own commitment. We're reminded that we are followers of the faith. Followers of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ, the living God who continues to be amongst us and amidst us, pushing us onward, guiding us onwards, perhaps no longer in this community, but into the places where we are now living, where we are called to stand up and allow our faith to speak for us. To stand up and say, I have been taught, I have learned, it has been passed down to me from generation to generation that God is calling me to do new things. And so as we remember the faithful, let us remember ourselves and remember the Christ who calls to us and indeed continues to lead us and lead us to new and wonderful experiences. Thanks be to God. Amen. God has blessed each one of us with an abundance of gifts. We are called to offer all that we are to God. Our bodies, our spirits, our minds, our time, our finances. As the body of Christ, we are called to be in ministry with others. With true generosity, let us give of ourselves this afternoon. The gifts of our offering will now be received. Thank you. brought forward, I invite us to turn our bulletins towards the bottom of page 4, our dedication of the offering, and I invite us to offer that prayer together. Let us pray. We love because you first loved us. We share because you first blessed us. May what we love and what we share help to build your great kingdom of love. And I invite us to continue in prayer, our pastoral prayer, and then our Lord's Prayer, which I invite you to offer with me this afternoon. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we gather here in this place celebrating the gifts of life and love and relationships. We give special thanks today for parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and even beyond, to the generations of settlers who came to this part of Canada, who had the foresight and the strength to build this church, to build this community, who in doing so proclaimed their faith in Christ crucified and risen. And we give thanks. We give thanks here in this part of the country for the gifts of changing seasons. From fall to winter, to spring to summer, to once again those leaves that are changing in our midst. We give thanks for the many gifts of creation that surround us. And for the blessings of friends, for the blessings of one another. We give you thanks and we give you praise, O God. And as we give you thanks, O God, we ask that you give us the strength to follow the footsteps of those who have led us forward. The strength of faith, the strength of resolve, the strength of commitment to make a difference in your world. And we don't know how we might be making a difference, but you encourage all your disciples to take up their cross and follow you, to follow where you are teaching, where you are leading, that we might make a difference and offer ourselves in a new way to those around us. For we know of pain and heartache in our own communities and throughout the world, and we ask for your presence and your peace to be upon all in need this day. Holy One, we pause now in a time of silence, where we offer our prayers, our remembrances, our thoughts to you, trusting in your Spirit's guidance. And we offer prayers especially for Alexander, Blaine, and Holly in their commitment to be the part of God's family in this time and in this place. And these are prayers we bring to you, O God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught people from generation to generation to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so our closing hymn, again turning back to our blue sheets, is Faith of Our Fathers. Folks, as you are able, we're welcome to head up to the graveside. For those that are unable to, we can pop over to Joe's and join you shortly for